next case is 95-1683 and 95-1893, the State of Ohio versus Warren A. Bush.
Thank you, Your Honor. May it please the Court. This is an appeal from an appellate court's ruling holding that a court had no power to dismiss a misdemeanor charge at the request of the victim if the prosecutor objects. This case addresses some very important concerns with respect to both the power of the judiciary and the rights of the victims within the justice system. The two decisions out of the 10th Appellate District relied upon the legal reasoning of Dayton v. Thomas. That was an unreported case in 1980. The holding in that case was that the duty of a judge is to hear and determine cases, not to refuse to hear them. And it concluded that the interest of the victim was incidental and subservient to the interest of the state, and that the state was entitled to a state court irrespective of any concerns for the victim. This holding is just plain wrong. Well, the duty of the court is to administer justice. And sometimes in the administration of justice, this means that a party does not get a state court. There are many times, both in the civil and criminal arena, where a party, on the basis of one ruling or another, is deprived of its day in court. And that's because the interest of justice so dictates.
To administer justice with regard to both parties, not just one.
And society. Justice takes into consideration the whole plethora of issues.
Isn't the state a party here?
The state is a party.
Then what right does a trial court have to dismiss a case over the objection of a party unless there's a jurisdictional question? If we're going to provide justice to everybody, not just one side.
Well, in the interest of justice, this is a situation where you look at the decision, the discretion to prosecute is an important function. And it obviously is a prosecutorial function. But unlike what the lower courts held, it's not strictly a prosecutorial function. It's like anything else where there's a function of either party. If the parties violate or don't properly live up to its obligations, the court can intervene if the interest of justice so warrants.
To hold for you, would we not have to establish a proposition of law that any time a complainant in a domestic violence case chooses not to proceed, the trial court has the authority or maybe even the obligation to dismiss?
The trial court will obviously have the obligation to listen to that victim as an interested party, but certainly does not have the obligation to dismiss, because there are many instances, as I conceded in the brief, where it would not be in the interest of justice to dismiss.
Well, if this case had not been dismissed, how do you pick and choose?
You have to pick and choose based upon an examination of the totality of the circumstances. In this particular case, the judge was very cautious and very careful. He engaged in a lengthy colloquy with the victim. She indicated that she and the defendant had reconciled. They were undergoing counseling, and it was her life decision to continue her life and raise their children together.
We've read all that. Let me give you an example and tell you what's bothering me so you get a fair and free shot at me. We used to, the predecessor to this kind of a problem, domestic violence, not on the same level, but the same sort of problem, was bad checks. Your client would come in, the broker company would come in and say, Douglas gave me a bad check. We take it to the police department and say, police department, would you go collect this check? Now, this used to be absolute common practice, because before the police department did anything, they'd call Douglas Douglas and say, you wrote a bad check, and Douglas would say, I'll be right down and pay it. Then the case would be dismissed, and we finally had to take the position that the courts are not a collection agency for the purpose of private individuals. Here, should the courts be nothing more than a conduit for people to come in and vent their spleens, and then when it's all over, say, okay, the case is dismissed?
Well, that's not necessarily...
And don't we thereby not discourage domestic violence, but maybe encourage it?
I would disagree. I would say that certainly that is an appropriate role in a given case, and in many instances, the filing of charges of domestic violence is what sets the wheels in motion for the parties to work.
What troubles me in this case, if we're to affirm the Court of Appeals, is that we're divesting the trial judge of the ultimate authority. Because there can be a reverse situation where a prosecutor can want to dismiss a criminal case. And if we hold that, what the Court of Appeals has held is that the prosecution in a criminal case has the ultimate authority. And
exactly.
It troubles me not to vest the trial judge with that ultimate authority, even though we may be unhappy with this situation.
There's a twofold legal question as it goes to the power of the courts. And the first the court has to deal with is does the court have the inherent power to review actions of the prosecution if there's allegations of that the prosecutor did not appropriately function as a prosecutor should? And the issue is yes, the trial judge has inherent power to review the actions of all parties if there's allegations of improprieties that affect the interest of justice.
But isn't that exactly the reason why we have Rule 48B is for those sort of things rather than this sort of situation where the court just makes the determination that they've settled it and these people aren't entitled to fight anymore? Well, the cases that have considered it, for the most part, I see that they talk about the reason that serves as the state of prosecutorial misconduct, lack of failure to prosecute the case, lack of prosecution, state failure to comply with an order to disclose. These are the sorts of bases that courts have used, double jeopardy, and eventually, one court, I'm sure you're familiar with, State versus Sutton, talks about the only reason to do it is when a defendant has been denied a constitutional or statutory right. And that is where Rule 48B kicks in, when courts can dismiss.
Now, there's remedies. Interests of justice go beyond those set forth in this statute or constitution. There are all sorts of...
What court has said interest of justice as, you know, construing that 48B should be exercised in the interest of justice?
The inherent powers of the court all stem from the fact that they're obligated to fulfill the interest of justice. That means if there is an overriding concern that the court must address in order to ensure that the interests of justice are protected, the courts have the inherent power to do what is necessary to protect us. Now, going back to Justice Resnick's comments, and see, the reverse is just the same. If you had a prosecutor who took the position that he did not like domestic violence charges and did not want to prosecute, and a victim would appear and say, Judge, he's going to dismiss it, but, you know, I'm living in a nightmare. I need help. Please don't let him do that. The judge is warranted at that particular time to inquire into the matter, and if he finds, in fact, that the prosecution abuses discretion in this regard, can, as this court has already held, appoint a special prosecutor to do those functions that the prosecutor should have done.
Let me take your example into the domestic abuse, because that's what we have. We have domestic abuse is a typical pattern of repeat. As a trial judge, I had a woman in front of me for the ninth time. She had broken bones, she had smashed her fingers, she had all sorts of stuff. She begged me for days after he was arrested not to let him out because she was going to kill her. And the next thing I know is she's gone and dismissed her case in municipal court because she had made up now. And he tells us this is the ninth time. The prosecutor says they want to go forward because they've got plenty of outside evidence of what the police saw when they arrived at the scene. Other witnesses, they can pursue the case regardless of her dismissal, and they want to pursue it. If they see that pattern, shouldn't they have the right to make when you have the terrible problem of use and constitutional violation.
That goes to the second problem, not whether what the court's inherent power is, but whether the court abuses its discretion if it dismisses when the prosecutor objects.
I guess that's what, let me interrupt, because you keep talking about inherent power. Why isn't Criminal Rule 48B the answer? I mean, the trial court, nobody's talking about telling a trial judge you cannot keep a case if there's evidence of a battering of the battered woman syndrome. This is not that kind of case. This is the case where the woman filed an affidavit, said, I won't testify. Came in repeatedly and the judge wanted to go proceed and didn't proceed. Finally, he decides in his discretion that it seems to me he has, this case is going nowhere. The unfortunate state didn't file a brief, so we don't have the state arguing with us, but this is not a case where the prosecution says we have other evidence, we can go forward, judge. It seems to me the judge just simply exercised its discretion under Criminal Rule 48B and next case. Case may be entirely different. The woman may come in and say, I want to in Justice Stratton's situation, I want to dismiss. The judge can say, no, I'm not going to dismiss it because there's plenty of evidence here that you're perhaps a battered woman, and I'm not going to let you dismiss the case because you fear that your husband or man may beat you if you don't. This is the discretion issue, isn't it?
And exactly what Justice Stratton's point is very valid, but again, it goes to the second prong, whether or not a court could abuse its discretion, and certainly could. And so could a prosecutor in that, and that's why it's important. That's why it's important that a power to elect to prosecute or not doesn't reside in the exercise of one person, but most of your cases, domestic violence cases, are disposed of by prosecutorial discretion. If you don't have some review over that, there will be injustice. Review is good. If you had no review of trial court's decision, you would have tyrants in some cases on the bench. A prosecutor's decision can be reviewed if the allegation is that interests of justice are affected and that a greater harm would be done by not reviewing it than not. But what you get into an abuse of discretion, and given Judge Stratton's comments, that I would assume that would be, you're talking about the ninth time, if there's a serious history of battery, it might be an abuse of prosecutorial discretion to dismiss it.
Yeah, the argument.
And then certainly could be reviewed, and it would obviously be an abuse, I think, of judicial discretion, given that history, given the severity. All these things have to be taken into account, and the judge did in this case. This was the first instance that these parties had appeared on domestic violence charges. The victim said, hey, we've worked it out, we've reconciled, we want to live in peace as a family. Now, the continued prosecution, as bad as domestic violence is, the prosecution of it can be worse in some instances. It can defeat the whole domestic violence statute is designed to promote peace and harmony within the family unit. When that is back together again, the prosecution against the interest of the victims.
But in this case, the prosecutor, the limited amount of record that we have, that the injuries were substantial, and isn't the prosecutor way saying, you're letting the guy get away with assaulting somebody simply because it's a domestic situation, Your Honor. We don't want that. She was severely injured. He should not be allowed to get away with it simply because they're getting divorced.
Make 2 points with respect to that. That is a factor to take into consideration. But first of all, just so the record's clear, there were initially 3 charges. One was a felony, and that had to deal with the allegations of the broken jaw. That was the state, through the county prosecutors, elected to abide by the wishes of the victim, and hopefully in the interest of justice, it's the basis of their decision, they elected not to indict on those charges. So the serious charges were not before the judge. It was just on 2 complaints, one alleging that being struck about the face, and the other was dragged down the stairs and burned with a cigarette. Now, those allegations, they're serious enough, but in these cases, and a lot of times there's mutual accountability and responsibility. The arguments just don't start with one person coming in and pounding on the other. And oftentimes people realize, look, I might have escalated to that level. I share some responsibility. Might have even hit the person first. Sometimes in the heat of the moment, these charges get exaggerated or even fabricated because of the emotional stress that the person is under.
So the majority of cases you hear is that after the woman's murdered, she has gone into court. court two or three times on prior occasions, made the accusations, and then dropped them. And finally, kills her. I mean, you hear that much more often than the other way around. I think that, well, this type of domestic violence is one where it is dropped more often than any other case.
Exactly.
And it reoccurs again, merely and probably because it was dropped the first time.
But
aren't we leading?
But let's look at how widespread domestic violence is. It occurs.
You tell the defendant one beating, you get one beating. After that,
no.
You're going to take a serious look at it.
You
now, that's ridiculous.
That's not what you're telling them. What you're telling them is it's
what
like
you're telling them.
Domestic violence is widespread. It occurs in my household every week.
That's why we should go ahead with the first complaint, because it is widespread.
No, I have two teenage boys. Let me clarify that before I go on the record.
Is this confession?
No, one of them cannot pass the other without sticking out their foot and tripping. Now, that's domestic violence by definition, and there's a whole panoply of where domestic violence is. Now, is prosecution the only remedy in all these cases? No, it's an ultimate remedy. It's a remedy that only is applied in the appropriate cases. And even domestic violence between people living as spouses, the estimates are that occurs in over half of those relationships. Most of those, the complaints don't even get filed. Is justice defeated when the parties don't go to court? No. Attorney, I saw two defense attorneys get in a fight in a bar. There were a number of prosecutors there. The prosecutors didn't go out and file charges and say interests of justice were defeated. The attorneys were partners. They made up interests of justice. Did not warrant governmental jurisdiction.
Let's shift the focus here. Why did the trial judge not abuse his discretion here in dismissing?
Well, the woman today stated, look, I am not going to testify. I don't want to testify. The interests of my family and my children are such that I don't want the defendant prosecuted.
And weren't they going through counseling?
They were going through counseling. He continued this. This is not like maybe he said they were serious, and he treated it as serious matters, not like maybe a push or a slight slap where he might have dismissed it at the first hearing based upon the representation. He continued it. And again, under oath, he questioned the victim, and she says, yeah, I still want this. This is my goal. I don't want the defendant prosecuted. And he still said, well, we're going to continue it again just to be sure. He erred on the side of caution in this regard. So to the extent, if in fact the court has the discretion, you cannot find that he abused it in this regard.
Did he state his reasons in the record when
he did?
Yes, he indicated. He's complied with Criminal Rule 48B, done everything.
Yes, he stated in the record, he said it was, the parties have indicated they have gone through counseling, is that her desire, that this, she says that this is not likely to reoccur. And oftentimes, you can have certain stresses in life where you can have an incident of domestic violence and it doesn't repeat. If you get and apply the ultimate sanctions, the application of the ultimate sanctions of a criminal prosecution can be more destructive to that victim and her family than the act of domestic violence itself. So it doesn't make sense that in this case that you're going to hurt the victim worse by continuing this prosecution than the allegations were the defendant initially.
Was there any evidence?
The court always has to be cognizant of.
Was there any evidence here presented by the prosecutor? I didn't see any, but was there any evidence here that the battered woman syndrome was extant here?
No, Your Honor.
Prosecutor didn't.
The testimony presented by the victim was that they had a really great relationship. They had a tough time with some certain factors in their lives that caused this, and in fact those are behind them now, and they're willing to get back together. And also, there's an indication that there's no indication in the record, but she did get her own attorney. She did not want to be forced to testify. The allegation of the broken jaw. She testified at a temporary protection order hearing at the defendant's arraignment, but that occurred on June 29th, and she didn't know about it 2.5 weeks later. And although it's not in the record, that was the one that was eventually dismissed, and there's some reason.
How far does the court's discretion go to turn this around?
that has happened. I mean, judges have been at special, people made application, prosecutors in our court is told that clerk not to take a complaint. Generally, an individual on his or her own can go down and file a complaint. But the prosecutor is told, clerk's office, not to take the complaint. That person made an application to the judge. The judge allowed the person to file a complaint, and a special prosecutor was appointed, and they had a hearing on that matter. All parties represented to determine whether or not that proceeding should go on. But yeah, it is. Whatever it takes to preserve the interest of justice, the court has a role in it. If the court abdicates that role, what do we have? We have a system that's not going to work towards the ends of justice. Whether it be, I mean, you can intervene in traditionally defense attorney roles in the same manner if there's an allegation of a conflict of interest. The court can say, well, if justice would not be served, you are removed from the case. And that can be true even if the defendant waives the conflict and wants that attorney to represent him. So the judge has broad powers in this area. And they all stem from the fact that you have the power necessary to do your job. If you don't, then we're problem. We have a problem.
You've used your time, Mr. Keeley.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. The state has not filed a brief, and so they waived oral argument. The case is submitted. You'll be advised of our opinion.